broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two at two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Our guest, Mr. James Edwards, well-known author of the book called Racism, Schmacism, and talk show host in his own right. His radio program called The Political Cesspool, thepoliticalcesspool.org, available every Saturday night, syndicated by Liberty News Radio and on AM and FM stations around the country, on the internet, live and on demand, and more, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Welcome back, James.
Sam, I've been so busy the last few weeks. It seems like it's been a year since I've been on Liberty Roundtable. I know I'm on every month. I don't know why it seems so long in between appearances this time, but I'm happy to be here. Always great to be with you.
Maybe we have to have you on more then. All right. Kurt Crosby's with me. Kurt, you had an interesting story about a professor, right? Isn't this a story professor that, like, smacks of racism and stuff like that?
This is the one where the professor, you know, got some cash coming back to him. There's some school, they're called Evergreen State College. And this is a LibertyNewsDaily.com piece. They say the Evergreen State College settles lawsuit with white professor. I guess the administration there in Washington State, where this college is located, they allowed black students to take over and declare a day of absence. I mean, we would have declared this every day when I was a kid. But anyway, it banned white student and faculty from the campus. Only one professor objected. Only one guy. Brett Weinstein is his name. He and his wife both taught at the college. Weinstein refused to leave, saying the day was blatant racial discrimination. His life was threatened, and he was widely criticized by other members of the faculty and members of the administration for refusing to give in to the demands. His job was threatened, so he sued the college, and they have now settled with him and his wife for $500,000.
You want to take off on that one there, James?
The college scene is so absurd and so ridiculous and so preposterous that it really defies belief. I mean, this is an interesting story for a couple of different reasons, as Kurt just rolled out. I had thought that we had reached the nadir of the ludicrous nature of what's racism, what's not, what's offensive, what isn't, when I wrote my book back in 2010. But what's happened over the course of the last 7 years makes those examples, as extreme as they were, look absolutely like child's play now. And again, the places where you would think would be the most serious places, the most serious atmospheres in our society are, in fact, the most bizarre. But that's a good find. I'll have to use that on Saturday night.
Well, there you go. Kurt, what do you want to say about this before my commentary here?
Well, you know, at least this guy stood up, and he was only one guy, you know, but thank goodness for one individual saying, hey, this is crazy, and, you know, standing up. I'm sure that he's, at least I haven't heard about him getting much coverage anywhere. I haven't really.
Of course not, Kurt. Number one, he's white.
Yeah, you know, and I just, he's in the university area, which, you know, I don't think they're too pro, what, freedom of speech and all that.
Well, they are, as long as you go along with their speech.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that's
well,
the interesting.
Stories don't have a happy ending like this or a favorable conclusion.
$500,000 he wins. Now he could fund Liberty News Radio and Liberty Roundtable and Liberty News Daily and all these things for probably like 3 years on that thing. with the money that he won. Now, I find the whole story fascinating for a bunch of reasons. Number one, this just goes to show, how many professors do you think are at that university, Kurt? Any idea?
Evergreen? I'm looking at trying to figure out some more details.
All right, while Kurt's looking to see how many professors work at Evergreen, all I'm telling you is you got one guy that stood up and said, wait a minute, this is wrong. And what was this guy even standing up for? Let's talk about that for a minute. What was this white professor standing up for, Kurt?
Well, he said it was wrong to make a day where it was just black people that could be on campus.
Okay, so the racists say that only black people be on campus, white people, you're not welcome here. He said, wait a minute, that's reverse discrimination, that's wrong. He literally got barbecued for it. And without the grit to have a lawsuit and to fight and to stand up, this is the point that we're making over and over and over, exemplified a thousand times over, James.
Well, he's very lucky that he won. I would say in this politically correct day and age, we have gone beyond what they prophesied in 1984. But I'm glad to hear that he did. Of course, the biggest, most blatant, obvious double standard that exists in the world today is that clearly everyone can be proud of who they are. They can take pride in their cultural heritage. They can celebrate their heroes and their history, except for, of course, the founding stock of this nation. And if we, as whites, take for ourselves what's not only allowed but encouraged to be taken, those actions by other groups, then, of course, we're racist. Well, but the fact of the matter is everyone, white, black, brown, red, yellow, everybody, should have a healthy pride in their history. And when you allow one group to celebrate it, quite rightly, and then condemn another for doing the same, well, what do you do about that? Well, that's been a major talking point of my show for the last 13 years. But again, obviously this man took the right action. He's brave. I'm proud that he had a favorable conclusion, but that is the exception to the rule in this day and age.
And we highlight it because it brings up so many issues. Number one, it's the exception to the rule. Number two, why is there only one guy standing up?
I mean,
if it's a liberal cause,
you
get literally millions and millions and millions of dollars and hundreds standing up.
A little more detail from the Seattle Times, Abby Spegman, the author there. Recently, they basically, he and his wife did go ahead and resign. So this $500K is not because, you know, they kept their job and they're, just lavish away all this money. They've resigned from their positions. They filed what was they called in the story a $3.85 million tort claim. I think this is the settlement that they received.
So this is a quid pro quo. $500,000.
Yeah, you know, it's just a lot less, but Mr. Weinstein, by the way, his wife's name is Heather Heying, H-E-Y-I-N-G. But anyway, I mean, they just do things a little different there. But they say they allege the college failed to protect its employees from repeated provocative and corrosive verbal and written hostility based on race, as well as threats of physical violence. Weinstein had criticized changes to the school's annual day of absence after white students who chose to participate were asked to go off campus to talk about race issues. He called the event an act of oppression. According to emails obtained by the Olympian, Weinstein later appeared on Fox News and wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. The incident led to protests and threats over, it doesn't seem very pro-choice, you know, where you can just kind of like choose what you want. Anyway, back to the story, they say over allegations of racism and intolerance, pulling Evergreen, that's the school's name, by the way, into a national debate over free speech on college campuses. Campus was closed for 3 days, and the graduation was moved to Cheney Stadium in Tacoma. In an email to the faculty and staff, Evergreen officials wrote that the college will pay $450,000 to the couple and $50,000 toward the couple's attorney fees. You know, that's a little more detail on the settlement, but
I want to know how many professors are at this college, and I want to talk about the one standing up. You see, the liberals put their money where their mouth is. The gay and lesbians put their money where their mouth is. Now, Hillary, by the way, just so you know, Hillary is rocking. Hillary getting rich off donations again reads the headline. So you know what? Hillary can raise money. Barack can raise money. Nobody conservative can raise any money, though. Nobody with a moral compass that believes in God, family, and country. Nobody white can raise any money. Just can't get it done.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, this Evergreen College is a strange beast. It's an epic battle, big time. There's all kinds of stories on it. If you type in white professor Evergreen College, you get pay dirt everywhere. This is an epic battle that no one's talking about, James. The students are crazy.
Well, I tell you, I mean, again, we could fill a month's worth of programming talking about the absurdities that take place on a college campus. But like so many people in your audience, Sam, even I tune into Liberty Roundtable to get my daily bread and my news that the network refused to use. Now, this is my bread and butter. This is my wheelhouse. Our show exists to tackle racial hypocrisies and double standards. I mean, that was the cornerstone upon which our foundation was built. And even I had never heard about this story until the moment I got on the air and Kurt broke it down for me. So I'm going to have to do more research about it. I mean, of course, I'm catching up on the fly, but it is an incredible story because, of course, as you know, we're involved in a lawsuit. Obviously different than this, but still somewhat similar. And the fact that he was able to receive a favorable outcome and just compensation in this racially charged climate, in a climate that certainly frowns upon dissidents and people who speak up and speak out in a politically incorrect way, is encouraging. I think it may be an outlier, but I am pleasantly surprised.
Students berate professor who refused to participate in No Whites Day of Absence.
Well, see, now there's the rub, of course. He still had to pay a great price. And if, in fact, that $500,000 was a settlement to just get him out of the college.
And then it goes further. Evergreen students demand professor resign for failing to stand up for this day of absence for whites. And then, of course, they settle a lawsuit. But they're under siege. This thing's not going away anytime soon, Kurt.
Well, and it looks like they've been doing this day of absence thing for quite a while. Apparently, you know, they started it back in, I guess it was in the 70s. You know, let's see. Yeah, every April since the 70s, Evergreen has held a day-long event called the Day of Absence. They say it was inspired by the Douglas Turner Ward play of the same name. Another guy, I don't know who he is, during which minority students and faculty members stay off campus to raise awareness of the contributions of minorities and to discuss racial and campus issues. As of 2017, they said approximately 25% of Evergreen students belong to racial minorities. Since 92, the Day of Absence has been followed by the Day of Presence when the campus community reunites. Isn't that special? By the way, it looks like, Sam, you know, there's about 4,000 students, you know, 3,800 undergraduates and 300 postgraduates.
Yeah, and how many of those students they say are demanding this guy resign? And, you know, hey, the bottom line is the conservatives, the freedom fighters, the white people, the whatever you want to call us, the constitutionalists, the Republicans, the whatever label you want to throw out, none of us do anything hardly at all, with rare exception, that's going to, you know, stand for our cause. This guy will basically, yeah, he won $500,000. That's great. I'm glad that he won. But the fact is he got beat up, he got shut down, he got kicked out, and he eventually had to quit. He won the battle and lost the war.
They got about 229 faculty members, according to Wikipedia, 554 staff.
So if you look at faculty members and this one guy stands up by himself, what's that?
That's pretty small amount.
It's less than a half a percent?
Might show you little more about this college. Their nickname, or their, you know, mascot, is the Geoducks. Then their motto in English is "Let it all hang out." I mean, it sounds like a liberal's dream place.
But it's no different than any other liberal college, though. They got literally at college campuses, they're rioting on the campus because of, you know, a cop shot this disabled or, you know, this mentally disturbed man. And, you know, you got Berkeley melting down where people can't speak unless they want to speak the liberal, you know, agenda. You got campuses melting down all across the country. We're back to the time of the 60s, James.
Well, and it's not just that. I mean, you've got all of these universities who are denying people like Richard Spencer the right to come speak, at which they are governmentally mandated by the First Amendment to allow. And they say, well, we're not going to let it go. So, I mean, a lot's happening there. And it's not just the liberal colleges. I mean, up there, I mean, you had the situation at Evergreen where this guy just said, hey, what's up with this? I mean, he didn't say, I think whites are reign supreme. I think whites are this, that, or the other. No, he just said, this is a double standard, and I'm not going to discriminate against these people. And then just for that, he was run out on a rail. And I got another story for you. So I went to have lunch with my pastor yesterday, one of the greatest men that I've ever known. He was the pastor of my church before I was born, the pastor of the only church I've ever belonged to, led me to the Lord, married my wife, buried everybody in my family that's passed away. I mean, he is just a rock-solid Christian man. And I was having lunch with him yesterday, and his oldest granddaughter just enrolled in college, and she goes to this very private, elite Christian college, if you can believe it, a Christian college. And on the first day of class, the professor of this Christian college assigned them, just the white students, mind you, to write an essay on why they are racist and how they benefited from
absolutely.
White.
And, and they
a private Christian college.
And they now have a thing, I don't know what it's called, but, you know, we've talked about how they put chains or collars around white people's necks so they can kind of simulate what slavery's like and all this kind of stuff. Well, I don't know if you know about the latest one, but they're expecting white people to lay in a very dark room to kind of symbolize slavery and the kind of reparations that need to take place and the apology and the groveling that needs to occur.
You know,
yeah, but they're all, they're supposed to be like chained up or taped up or something too, Sam. I mean, not just lay there, but they're supposed to be, I guess you
high schoolers,
say,
the headline from Drudge says high schoolers forced to lay in dark room. I guess wrists and legs are bound as slavery project, for a slavery project.
Look, people have got to get over that. I'm telling you. I mean, lay in the dark, that's ironic because it was primarily Christians from Europe, European Christians, who brought the light of the world to the nations, the light of Jesus Christ. Was there a time in the history of the world that whites participated in slavery? Yes, just like everyone else. Who ended slavery? White people ended slavery. Slavery still exists today in exclusively non-white countries. Every group of people, every race of people on the planet have both participated in and practiced and been the victims of slavery throughout the course of civilization, including whites. This is not a uniquely white enterprise. The fact that whites are the ones who ended the practice, the fact that whites are the only ones that are forced to feel guilt over this is absolutely ridiculous. And enough's enough. Enough's enough.
Yeah, but it'll get worse. You want to know why?
If we allow it.
Well, what do you mean if we allow it? We are allowing it.
Well, this is another thing that was...
We have, besides Sam and Kurt and James and you know, a handful of others, there is no opposition, my friend, to this agenda.
Well, that's right. And this is another thing that was said yesterday at that lunch we were talking about. He came up with a great quip. I said, you know, how did we give it all away? You know, talking about, you know, the role of the Christians in America. He said, James, me and you didn't give away anything. It was taken from us as we were kicking and screaming. And that's the truth. I mean, but there's only a few people who will stand and fight for what they've got. We may win, we may lose. But if we lose, we're going to go down swinging. But so many people have just rolled over and allowed it. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, for how many centuries are we supposed to feel guilt for a practice that we abolished?
All I can tell you is that there's just not enough of us, and I think that we're going to have to just start shutting down conservative organizations. I think that the conservative people ought to just shut down and get out of the way and just let this stuff bring it on. The faster it melts down, then maybe somebody will come to their senses. Until then, it's just you and I and Donald are getting attacked all day.
You know, that was funny, too. The topic of Hillary Clinton's book came up yesterday at this lunch that I keep referring to. And my pastor's actually listened to people talk about this book. I don't have.
Hey, the bigwigs just shut down all the negative comments over at Amazon. They just got rid of you and me. Period. They just flat out shut us down in a censor move.
Well, I heard.
By the way, just a little bit more footnotes on the evergreen thing, just so you know.
Sure.
They have an organic farm. And it has a, you know, it's pretty good size. They produce all this produce there. Guess where they sell it? In what they call Red Square. Now, I thought Red Square was a Russian place. But anyway, they got something called Red Square right there on Evergreen College.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Some people may call it hypocrisy, with Hillary Clinton saying in an interview she still might want to challenge the legitimacy of the 2016 presidential election. Others would say what she's doing is just the same as many in the GOP are doing, criticizing what Hillary did while running and while she was Secretary of State. This is exactly what she criticized President Trump for during the campaign, though, when he stated he would have to wait and see the outcome before conceding the election. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi finding herself in an unusual and unenviable position at a press conference in San Francisco. It was disrupted and shut down when some illegals she had been defending were shouting. They surrounded the podium, waved posters, and they shouted, "Liar, liar." The crowd was angry over Pelosi and Chuck Schumer agreeing to work with President Trump on an immigration deal to protect the Dreamers. The demonstrators were demanding that no one in the country illegally ever be deported again, ever. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
The county sheriff is the first line of defense in preserving the constitutional rights of all citizens. To help your sheriff keep his oath of office, join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Who taught you skip stones?
My dad.
Family. Isn't it about time?
He must be good.
Yeah, my mom taught him.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So the liberals literally surround Nancy Pelosi, these illegal immigrants, La Raza and the like, and they literally attack her because she's trying to work with Donald to create a DACA program to help these people stay. See, all the communist organizations, all the Antifa organizations, all the criminal organizations, all the La Raza and the Black Lives Matter and the Bloods and the Crips and MS-13 and these gangs combined with Hillary Clinton, combined with all the, they're all willing to put their money and their efforts where their mouth is, and you see it everywhere. The conservatives are flat out shut down. And we literally do nothing about it. What do you think of that, James?
Well, of course, when you're being funded by billionaires, and they do put their money where their mouth is, people like George Soros and things of that nature, and of course it's very socially acceptable to be a Marxist, to be a communist, to be a liberal, to be someone who hates Jesus Christ and the founding fathers and all of the things that made this country great. No, the money will roll in for that. And it's not that conservatism is bankrupt financially. What we call Conservatism Incorporated brings in hundreds of millions of dollars. You've got all of these nominally.
But I got a question. Is there more communist millionaires or more free market or capitalist million or billionaires?
Well, the ones who shell out the money would appear to be of the left-wing persuasion. And the ones who do give money, give it to establishment conservative organizations. You've got no shortage of conservatively, and I use that word in this case in quotations, conservatively oriented think tanks and PACs in Washington who never do anything but fundraise. I mean, for the last 40, 50, 60 years, they have brought in literally billions of dollars themselves and never won a single battle. And that's the thing. But they're the ones that can raise the money because, you know, if you give it to them, yeah, you may be a conservative. You're not really in with the in crowd, but you're not a racist that would give money to a group that actually could get something done. Because, of course, if you give it to somebody who's outside the establishment, outside the mainstream, you're just going to be called a bunch of names. And we know that story all too well. So, yeah, the conservatives have money and they still have the numbers, but they're giving it to the wrong people and they're woefully unorganized and disassembled and scattered. And because of that, we're getting run over time after time. And we thought, at least I thought, that Trump may be somebody who could put the brakes on this trend. And so far, not the case.
Well, let me give you an example. I don't know if you know, but J.P. Morgan, you know the bank?
Yes.
Did you know they had a hate list?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Kid you not, look it up on the internet. J.P. Morgan's hate list. It's an article. It's by Kimberly A. Strassel. And it talks about corporate America will do almost anything to, quote, stay on the safe side of public opinion, at least as it's defined by the mainstream media.
That's the key. Yeah, public opinion is with us, but public opinion, the way it's filtered, is through the establishment press and the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, anyway, it goes into J.P. Morgan working with the SPLC. It's a big, huge, long article. But it basically talks about J.P. Morgan and the Southern Poverty Law Center create this hate list. They say the corporate donations are no less appalling as they legitimize groups that exercise inappropriate influence. This undermines the fight against truly hateful groups because they have this message of hate. And there you go.
Well, one man's hater is another man's hero, I guess you could say. I mean, what's hate now? What's hate? I mean, a basic fundamental belief in Jesus Christ. I mean, is that hate now?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Oops, yes, it is. Yep. So,
where do we go from here, Kurt? I've got to just start shutting down things. Because then the conservatives can double down and fund the liberals.
But there's not much difference between the two these days, especially in Washington. Well, there's no difference.
Really? I mean, it's amazing. Matt Staver writes me an article. It says, countering the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate. From the desk of Matt Staver, Liberty Council. Sam, I have joined with leaders, listen to this, of 47 nonprofit organizations. They are united in delivering a written warning to media outlets that the Southern Poverty Law Center's, in other words, the SPLC's, list of, quote, so-called hate groups is false and lacks any semblance of credibility. The SPLC makes wide generalizations that harm those who are besmirched by its self-interested classification of others. In reality, their labeling should read, these are the, quote, groups we hate. The open letter by this 47-group organization now states the SPLC is a discredited, left-wing political activist organization that seeks to silence its, quote, political opponents with a hate group label of its own invention. An application that is not only false and defamatory, but that also endangers the lives of those targeted with it. Anyway, there you have it. But here's the problem. They then go on to say the SPLC has an obvious politically driven agenda. But then they say that our legal team has been working overtime to deal with this. But CNN blindly echoes. And then they say, on top of this, the SPLC attorneys are leading a major lawsuit against Liberty Council and Matt Staver personally that's designed to destroy their organization. All right. Anyway, they go on and tell you how the SPLC, CNN, J.P. Morgan, and these huge banks are literally spending billions of dollars to hammer this agenda. Now, the SPLC's donors are wealthy, they say. J.P. Morgan, Apple, Amazon, George Soros. and they transfer tens of millions of dollars in cash to foreign accounts in the Cayman Islands and other places. The SPLC claims it has a staff of 75 lawyers who practice in the area of children's rights, economic justice, immigrant justice, LGBT rights, and criminal justice reform. So Matt Staver says that's why I'm determined to fight back. I commend him for doing his best. But while that goes on, Donald decides to back the United Nations like no other. He literally said, I love the United Nations, want to work with them, want to help them grow. We got to make the United Nations great again, James. But we can't get to the Donald. Donald's too busy mowing the lawn with an 11-year-old boy that sent him a letter to get our letters of help. Matt Staver's letters of help, while the SPLC runs over us roughshod, illegally, with deception. Donald says he hates the mainstream press. Well, they're the ones that are making this possible. The big money from the donors of the SPLC along with the media. And we can't even get a hold of Donald to tell him about our plight.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody in our audience and everybody who's looked into it objectively knows what the Southern Poverty Law Center is. And, of course, they are given safe cover by the press, and they've got hundreds of millions of dollars. And so, you know, they write their own story. It is interesting, though, that, of course, all of these newspapers were against Trump, and all of the celebrities were against Trump. I mean, literally every national news outlet, short of Liberty News Radio, perhaps, were absolutely opposed to Donald Trump's election in 2016, and the American people voted for him anyway. So there is hope out there that the American people can see through to what's really real, because I think we saw that in the presidential election. So with regard to the Southern Poverty Law Center, that very well may be the case also. But again, the way it's going to be presented, and we won't know because there's not a referendum on this, is they're great, they're freedom fighters, and blah, blah, blah. But now, moving that aside, yes, so Donald Trump wins. And that speech yesterday, we would have heard that from George W. Bush. I mean, that was neoconservative globalist claptrap.
It was super hawkish in terms of war. We were hoping Donald would pull out of the United Nations. He literally doubled down in support of it. He wants to make the United Nations great again. Well, that United Nations organization has been the greatest challenge to United States sovereignty in the last 50 years. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Now it gets worse. Not only do our founding fathers warn us to avoid foreign entanglements, Donald Trump backs the United Nations big time, wants to make the UN great. He didn't say again to his credit, but he wants to make it great. That's the greatest challenge to the United States sovereignty we've ever seen, this global government agenda funded by the United States primarily. But listen to this. Daily Caller writes an article that says this. President Donald Trump expounded on the virtues of American democracy during his UN address. Now, do we have a democracy, James?
No.
So why would the President of the United States sworn an oath to the supreme law of the land talk about the virtues of the American democracy when we don't even have one, to the globalist organization designed to upend or circumvent U.S. sovereignty? Okay. Now, the headline from the Daily Caller article starts by saying this. Trump brags about beautiful U.S. Constitution and U.N. speech. What the heck are we talking about here? The Constitution doesn't say we're a democracy, does it? They all lie. Now, Donald Trump praised the first three words, we the people. But we the people can't get a hold of Donald if we tried. You don't believe me? I've tried for over 2 years now, trying to get a hold of the Donald. Send him open letters, contacted everybody I knew that could get to him. I can't get to him for the life of me. Of course, the 11-year-old boy that wants to mow the White House lawn for free, Donald could take advantage of child slave willing labor and do it. But I can't get a hold of the Donald if my life depends on it. Now, he talked about the sovereignty of each individual member of this organization, but that alone is a lie. You give up sovereignty by funding and joining the United Nations. He says that's fundamental to the overall success of the, quote, organization and its goals. Trump praised the UN's founding ideas. It's a complete opposite to what he had on the campaign trail.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the candidate, for all of his flaws, and who isn't flawed, but if you just forget what you knew about Donald Trump prior to that campaign, you looked at a lot of the things he was saying. I mean, were there areas we could have improved? Were there some areas we would have done differently? But as far as I'm concerned, that was an incredible campaign. Populism, nationalism, a lot of the things. But the candidate, it was a Jekyll and Hyde situation. The candidate, the President Trump, doesn't really bear much resemblance to candidate Trump. Now, there have been some, you could say, half-hearted efforts to deliver on some campaign promises, but as soon as a judge you've never heard of from Hawaii says, we're not going to let you do that, Donald, well, then that's the ball game, and he just goes home and says, well, I did all I could, folks. You see what happened. But this thing with the U.N., I mean, the only solution to the U.N. is to get the U.S. out of the U.N. I mean, that's the only thing he should have said, is that I'll work every day and every night to get us out of this sovereign-sucking organization.
But why would the globalists do that?
Well, I mean, a globalist organization, I don't see, I mean, once again, it's just like everything else. It's just an organization that leeches off of America. What does America gain by being in league with some of these other nations? And the, you know, it was you could have heard George W. Bush giving this speech, in 2000. And you could have heard George W. Bush give this speech. It would have been a little more polished, maybe, in terms of the rhetoric, but this is no different than the Bush-era neoconservative foreign policy.
All right, there you have it. My big problem, though, is I don't know if Donald realizes it, but Donald, we're not a democracy, my friend. I don't know how to get that across to the President of the United States, sworn to uphold the supreme law of the land, praising an organization, its whole goals and purposes and inception is to destroy the sovereignty of the United States of America and violate our constitutional republic principles. That's the whole purpose of the organization.
constitutional republic versus a democracy. You're right. He can call us whatever he wants to, as long as he does the right thing. I wouldn't get hung up on his decision.
I would, because if you get the rhetoric wrong, you'll never get the answer or the actions right.
Well, if you're getting them both wrong, I guess it's a moot point. But right. I mean, I'm more concerned with what he does than what he says. But in this case, he's wrong on both.
And what I'm saying is that if you're going to do the right thing, you're going to be saying the right things because you understand it. And if you say the wrong things, it means that you're likely to do the wrong things because you don't even understand it.
Well, there's truth to that.
Does he understand we're not a democracy? If he doesn't understand that, you'll never get him to do the right thing, James.
But when are we going to build the wall? Let's talk about that.
We're not going to build the wall, my friend. He already told you that.
I think Nancy and Chuck may let him reinforce the chain link fence. I think that was the deal he hammered out last week.
Look, the State Department, we reported last hour, the State Department's in flat-out open war with the Donald. Joseph Farah writes this, and he basically says the reason is because all the holdovers from the Obama administration are literally declaring war on the Donald. So now you got the State Department declaring war. Donald doesn't drain the swamp. They're Donald's holdovers, not Barack's. Donald could have fired every one of them with a stroke of a pen, couldn't he?
Well, this was another thing. Well, and he should. I mean, and perhaps let's just pretend, whichever word you want to use, that Trump was somewhat sincere in that the things he campaigned on were the things he actually might have wanted to do on some level. Let's just assume that for a moment. It could be said that he had no idea how difficult it would be when you have so much corruption, so much bureaucracy. Now, obviously, he is fitting into that perfectly. I mean, he is becoming them. If he wasn't one of them to begin with, you could certainly say he's becoming more like them than they like he now. But you've got all of the people in Congress that are just eat up with corporate interests and PAC money who are bought and paid for. You'd have to get rid of all of them, but unlike a business, you can't fire them. So you've got that.
That's where I think the lie is. You can fire them.
Well, the people can fire some of those representatives. He does need to clean out these organizational departments.
Everybody at the State Department, the Donald could fire, couldn't he?
Now, those people he should be firing. I'm talking about the congressmen and senators. But here's one thing that shouldn't be lost upon people. Now, he should be cleaning those houses. He should have done that 8 months ago. But the Republicans have complete control of 36 states. And I mean, they have the majority in the House, the majority of senators, and the majority of the state legislation. That's 36 states that's under complete. You got a Republican president, majority Republican members of Congress in those states, Senate and House, and state legislatures that are Republican. And we've done nothing, Sam. Nothing is different. We could have gotten what we've gotten out of Trump so far. I mean, a few rhetorics and barbs aside, not a lot different than what you would have gotten out of Bush.
I think it would have been better under Hillary because at least the conservatives would wake up for a change.
Well, I mean, people say that, you know, let's just get it over with. I mean, if you're dying of cancer, I guess you'd want to hang on and be with your family for as long as you can. I don't know. I oscillate on that question. I guess you want to take every last minute of freedom you can before the hammer falls down. But it's not lived up to the promise, at least the promise that I thought I saw last year, but there's still 3 years to go in this term, 3 years and change, but a lot of that, well, almost all of that enthusiasm and vigor and that wild enthusiasm that he had as a candidate has just about been sucked out of the balloon now.
Yeah, amen to that. What do you say, Kurt? I'm just saying right now you got the Donald promoting the United Nations. He's not building the wall. I don't see any promise that he's really kept that has any validity. He's running around telling everybody he wants to rebuild, you know, reincarnate the United Nations under his own style or fashion. Rebuild that sucker, if you will. Make it great. He thinks we're a democracy. I mean, we have no chance with this kind of rhetoric going on. He's literally waging war with Kim Jong-un or whatever the guy's name is over in North Korea. And I mean, we're on the brink of war, folks.
Well, I'll give you a little good news, Sam.
Yeah, the good news
Judge Roy Moore
skinnier,
is in
so
the
I
news.
So I get to buy smaller pants. That's the
Judge
good news.
Judge Roy Moore is in the news, and, you know, Sarah Palin's even going to show up down there for one of his events. And you know, it looks like, you know,
how did Judge Roy Moore get a hold of Sarah? We've been trying to get a hold of Sarah for like a year now.
Maybe
you can help
that,
us get a hold of Sarah, Kurt.
But anyway, the bottom line is Sarah Palin's going to go down and help support Judge Roy Moore. And I believe Judge Roy Moore will be the next senator from, well, the great state of Alabama.
And you got, and here's another example, folks. You got Donald Trump endorsing Roy Moore's opposition.
In a strange twist.
Of course, Roy Moore's exactly the type of guy we need.
Oh, man.
Amen to that. Yeah.
When is the election on that, guys, if you don't mind me asking? I mean, I know obviously it's coming up this year. He's in the runoff right now.
When is it,
Kurt? Yeah, it's the 27th, you know, or something? At least it's coming up soon. Let's see. Let me look through here.
And he's winning. I mean, he's winning by a small margin in the latest poll.
It's about 13 to 15%. That's what they say, but I'm thinking it's a smackdown, you know.
But I didn't know it was that high.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he wins. I think it's like the 27th of this month, though. It's coming up soon. We'll know pretty soon.
They call him bomb-throwing Roy Moore. Yeah,
because if you stand for the Constitution and for America and for God, family, and country, and for traditional marriage and the Ten Commandments, you're just like a bomb thrower, you know?
They say it's bad news for the McConnell. You know, which in my opinion,
Mitch has plenty
news,
of money compared
anyway.
To Roy, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
No mistake about it. Now, you're talking about his election, his primary election day is coming up. But whoever wins the primary in the Republican Party is going to win the seat in the general election.
Maybe. Maybe the Republicans are melting down so much that might not even be true.
I think the good folks in Alabama know who's worth voting for. If they have an honest election, that is.
Well, Alabama is going to vote for the Republican no matter who it is. And if it's Roy Moore, if he comes out of that runoff in the Republican primary, he's going to be your next senator.
There you go. That's, in my opinion, one of the best pieces of news you'll hear all day, ladies and gentlemen.
Always good to end on a high note.
Yeah. Roy Moore talking about racial divide between reds and yellows. See those bombs going on?
Yeah.
When is the runoff? Do we know yet?
September 26th.
Oh, I was off by a day. September 27th. I guess I wrote down the day that we'll know the answer.
A little less than a week away.
Our prayers are with him, that's for sure. This nation shall endure. Thanks, guys.